Father, this morning we thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I thank you that revelation knowledge will be imparted to people as I share the things that you've given me to share. Father, we thank you for the gospel of grace. We thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Glory to God. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Understand that our transformation, the renewing of our mind, is given to us for us to be transformed, that we may prove what is. Oh, I forgot. We don't have scripture this morning. We're still working on that part of it. You have to actually look in your Bible. Now, for some of you, this may be a very unnatural thing. Well, it needs to be natural anyway. Amen. So, I was getting used to it. I was looking back. I was getting ready to go with it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove. Transformation comes that you got to prove something. It means you're going to experience something new. It doesn't mean that you live life the same way and you just learn more about the Bible. That's not what being changed by the renewing of your mind is. It's for you to change your experience. See, if you've lived life a certain way, if you've experienced certain things, and you want to change the way that you're experiencing life, and you want to start living the way that God would have you to live, then go ahead and start being transformed by the renewing of your mind, because you're going to start proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, in proving the perfect will of God, you're also going to prove what the perfect will of God is for your life. Amen. Not just the perfect will of God generally to everybody, but you've got to prove what the will of God is for your life. Glory to God. And so he says, I say, through the grace given unto me. Now, I talked about this last week. Through the grace that is given unto me. Paul operated in the grace that was given unto him. Amen. Now, look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given us. Having then gifts. You have a gift. Somebody say, I have a gift. You have a gift. That is different. Seth has a gift that is different. Seth is different. We know that. We all have a gift that is different from each other. Would you agree with that, Daniel?
I would agree.
Okay. You have to recognize that there is a grace for that gift.
Yes.
You've been empowered for that gift. Glory to God. Whatever God has gifted you to do, he's empowered you to do it. I want to talk to you for just a moment about Moses. And I'm going to summarize the life of Moses for a moment. But turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Now, most of you know the story of Moses very well. During the time that the Pharaoh was killing all the male children that were born, Moses, his sister, laid him as a baby in a little basket in a river. Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him in her household. So he was raised in the palace. He was raised in the kingdom, if you will. He was set into a place of favor. Now, what do you think Moses thought as he was growing up, realizing he was a Jew, seeing his people that were enslaved? What do you think that he thought as he was growing up? Stephen was talking about this in Acts chapter 7, and it said in verse 23, Moses was 40 years old. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptians. For he supposed his brethren would have understood. Look at this. He supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. Moses, at 40 years old, living in Pharaoh's house, already had this idea that God placed him there so that God would use him to deliver his people. He had it all worked out. He thought he was going to get into a place of authority, a place of power, and then he would be able to change the laws so that they were no longer oppressing his people. And so from his standpoint, he's looking at it. And I love this because sometimes we find ourselves in the same trap. He's looking at it, man, God has favored me. God has put me in this position. God has elevated me. And look what God's going to do through me. He had a inflated sense of himself. Before God had ever used him to do anything, he thought, God is going to use me. See, sometimes when you get a little wealthy, when you're in a place of position of power and authority and all of that, pride can come along with that. And you start thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And Moses was just looking at the favor and just thought, this is God's plan. But he went out there, and maybe it was. I don't know that it wasn't, but maybe it was. But what happened is Moses went out and he messed up. He killed an Egyptian. And when Pharaoh found out about it, he basically put out a warrant for Moses' arrest. And what happened was, is that Moses fled. And as far as Moses was concerned, his life was over. The dreams that God had placed in him, what he thought that God had wanted to do in his life, as far as he was concerned, done, over with. Sometimes I think that we're the same way. We look back and we think that we miss God in different areas. We look back and we think, maybe I no longer have a dream. Maybe what I thought God wanted to do in my life, it's not going to happen. Moses could have been there. Do you know how long he was in the wilderness? Do you know how long he was there? For 40 years. 40 years. And so what happened was, is then when he didn't think that God was ever going to use him again, he had humbled himself. He was done. He was meek. His grand plans had all failed. What happened? God came to him then and said, now, Moses, I can use you. And Moses at this point starts arguing with God. Burning bush experience. I'm telling you, if I got a burning bush and there's a voice coming out of it, I'm not arguing with the burning bush. Now, that's me. But Moses, he's arguing. He's saying, God, you can't use me. God, I can't even talk good. God, I can't this. God, I can't that. And he's arguing with God over the fact that he can't get it done. Yet, he's sitting there watching a bush burn, and it's not even burning up. Now, speaking of burning up, how many of y'all are burning up right now? I mean, it's getting a little warm in here, so I'm just going to go fast, okay? I'm thinking of you, so we'll get you the spirit, and we'll get you out of here so it's cool. And we'll have 3 air conditioners working next week. Hallelujah. But God sent them out anyway. Now, think about this. It's almost like God was messing with Moses. He said, Moses, you have a staff. Throw it down. Staff was turned into a snake. Moses thought, wow, look at this power. Look at what happened. Pharaoh surely is going to, I mean, when he sees that, he's going to freak out. That's what I would have thought. I'd say I like putting myself into people's shoes. I like to say, if that's me, how am I going to react? And I got to tell you, if I have a staff and it turns into a steak, I'm going to think that's a pretty cool deal. That's a pretty neat trick. That's the power of God at operation. And so guess what? He walks into Pharaoh. And he says, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. Why should I? He says, watch this. Drops the stick, becomes a snake. What you going to do with that, Pharaoh? You know what Pharaoh did with that? Said, come over here, guys. They did the same thing. Now, what do you think? What do you think Moses was thinking at that moment? What do you think? I mean, I'm thinking that Moses, if it happened to me, I'm thinking that did not go exactly the way I thought it was going to go. I envisioned the whole thing. See, Moses had a problem. He kept envisioning how things were supposed to happen instead of just obeying God. Now, listen to me. You have grace to do what God has called you to do. You have grace to obey him in everything he's called you to be obedient in. Your spiritual success is not dependent on what you do and how much you do. Your spiritual success is based on whether or not you just obeyed what God told you to do. But I want to do something big for God. But are you being obedient in the little things that he's asked you to do? If you're not obedient in the little areas, then God's not going to entrust to you being able to do the big things. So if you want to be used by God, be obedient in the little areas. And so Moses began to be obedient, and God increased him more and more the more that he obeyed in the things of God. Hallelujah. Now turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. After Moses died, Joshua became the next ruler. In verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I have said unto Moses, from the wilderness unto this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Let's stop for just a moment. Let's pray for the nation of Israel right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we as your children, as your sons, as your daughters, we set ourselves in agreement with the nation of Israel right now, Father, that even while there's pressure coming from the United States government, other governments around the world, Father, we lift up the leader of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, right now, Father. We ask you to strengthen him. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, just to give him revelation, to give him insight, to know exactly what the plans of the enemy are for the nation, Father. We thank you, Lord, that they discovered the terrible plot that they had planned through the tunnels and the things like that, Father. We thank you that it's able to be stopped before they were able to come and do major damage, Father. We believe that revelation came by your spirit. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we strengthen the nation of Israel right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we strengthen Benjamin Netanyahu right now. Father, we just commission the angels to just strengthen and to stay around and to protect all of Israel in Jesus' name. And we declare, Father, that you'll get glory and your purposes will be done in that nation in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Look at that. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people you shall divide for an inheritance. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to everything that I've said. He said, be strong. That's all that he wanted Joshua to be, strong and courageous to do what he was calling him to do. Saints, for transformation to happen in our lives, we got to be strong. We got to be courageous to step out into new areas. We have to be obedient to him. Glory to God. I want to read just a couple of things. Number one, your life becomes a supernatural life when you obey God. Your life becomes a supernatural life when you obey God. It's out of your obedience to him as he tells you to do things. That's why it's so important that we as a church teach you to hear the voice of God. Because how can you obey the voice of God if you're not hearing the voice of God? Glory to God. So why is it that churches refuse to teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why is it that people aren't teaching how to hear the voice of God? I need to hear you, God, so that I know how to obey you, God, because that's where the life of the supernatural is going to be for me. Hallelujah. Out of your life of obedience, when you obey, that's when it becomes a supernatural life. Following the Lord's instruction, it is a never-ending assignment in the life of an obedient believer. You don't just obey God and say, that's it, I'm good to go. No, no, no. What God wants us to do every day, obey. Every day, obey. Every day, hear his voice. Wouldn't it be nice just to hear his voice every day and know that you're not making the wrong decision? Do you know that that is available to you as a son and a daughter of the Most High God? It is possible. Somebody says, well, I've been a believer all my years and I haven't experienced that. Just because you haven't experienced it don't mean it's not possible. There's a lot of things that's available. Do you know there's people that have been heathens their whole life? And they could say, I've been a heathen my whole life, and I haven't been saved. Doesn't mean it's still not available to them. Don't change your doctrine to line up with your experience. Change your experience to line up with the Word of God. Glory to God. There is a point in your life, I'll call it the point of no return. There is a point in your life that you will have to make a decision and step out into new realms if you want to experience what God wants to do in your life. There is a point that Moses had to say, okay, God, even though I'm wanted for murder, I will go to the person that wanted me for murder. And I'm going to trust that you're going to protect. Because when God calls you, God sustains you. God protects you. God equips you. God gives you the grace. He is with you. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's time for ministry. God said, I'm going to stop for a moment. Thank you, Father. So let's just pray for just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. There is something that the Lord is doing in people's hearts right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the grace being poured out. God. This happened about a month ago, where right in the middle of teaching, the presence of God just hit me. And so we wait on the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Listen, most of the time, a lot of times, we're just looking forward to the age of retirement when we don't have to do anything, and that is the world's design for us. Moses was 80 years old when God called him. 80 years old. Do you know that some great ministry, Smith Wigglesworth, other ministries started when people, when they were 50 and 60 years old, 70 and 80, it's not too old. Glory to your name, Father God. Sometimes we have a tendency to try to get ahead of God. Sometimes we try to, you know, God will place a dream, a vision into our lives. And so what we do is we think that that vision and that dream is for right now, right at this moment, and the whole thing's going to be laid out in front of you. I remember when I was just 7 years old, 8 years old, and we had lived in Maryland for 3 years, and God talked to my father audibly and said, return to Birmingham to teach my people faith. Return to Birmingham to do the work that I will show you. And so he got here, and he rented a room in the Holiday Inn in Hoover and advertised in the paper and everything that he could. And so because God had told him audibly this is what he was supposed to do, then that meant that all of Birmingham was going to show up, you know, because God said it. And so he got there and came away disappointed from the meeting because only 12 people showed up. And in his mind, it was just a failure, because he had this big dream of what God wanted to do. But out of that meeting, one guy said, would you start a Bible study in my home? And he said, sure. And he started the Bible study. And the Bible study rapidly grew. And then within a year or so, the church was birthed. And, you know, the rest, they say, is history. What you may look at in your life as an apparent failure, you don't know the connections that you have made that will set you up for your next step in what God has called you to do. Never look at anything that you do as a failure. Don't look at it as a missed opportunity. Don't look at it as somewhere where you've missed God. Moses thought he had it all figured out. David thought that he had it all figured out. How many times do we think, because of our knowledge of the Word of God, do we think that we have it all figured out? We know exactly how God is going to accomplish His will in our life. And so we go ahead in our mind and we plan out a sequence of events and expect God to do it that way. And so what it is we're not relying on God to do it through us. We want to tell God how to do it in our life. And because we confine ourselves to how God must operate, we miss the path that God has chosen for us. What if Dad was so disappointed in the meeting that he told the guy, said, no, that's not what God's called me to do. God called me to this city. But because he just obeyed in that one little area, the step was taken. I can't tell you how many times that the Lord has done this in my life, that I just make a connection. And maybe that connection doesn't do anything, have an apparent value in my life until later on down the road. And it comes back, and there it is. Why? All that I want to do for today, listen to me. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next month. Don't worry about next year. Why? He said, you got enough stuff to deal with today to have to worry about tomorrow. The grace that you need for tomorrow will be there. All that you need to do is operate in the grace that is available to you today. See, when we start thinking about tomorrow, when we start thinking about the future, what we're doing is we're disconnecting ourselves from the grace of God that's already provided, been provided for us right now. So he said, don't take thought for tomorrow. Don't even think about it. Don't worry about it. And I believe that today that that is a word for you. I had no intention of even talking about some of these things. Some of us get so worried about how God's going to take care of us. As things shift and as things move and as things happen, because of that shifting and that moving, listen. Sometimes we want security. Sometimes we want, you know, we like the fact that we have a 401k. We like the fact that we have a secure job. We like the fact that all of those things. And so that gives us a measure of peace and a measure of security. Whereas if the company goes under or something could happen, it could be gone just like that. Our measure of comfort, our measure of peace, our measure of security has to be found in the things of God. And when you finally get to a place, that point of no return, that you do what God has called you to do. God, I'm going to obey you no matter what. God, I don't know how you're going to supply my need. I just know that you said that you would. God, I don't know who you're going to connect into my life. I just know that you're going to do it. Father, all that I want to do is obey what you say. Go where you say go. Do what you say do. Say what you say to say. Glory to God. And when I am just dependent on that, Father, I know you equip me. You sustain me. You provide for me. You give me the grace to do it. And I'm through trying to figure out how you're going to do it. I'm just going to trust that you've said you've done it in the name of Jesus. And I no longer am going to be worried about tomorrow. I'm no longer, right now, in the name of Jesus, anxiety, care, worry. God says, let's deal with it right now. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Listen, nobody else. There's nobody else around here right now except for just you and God. I want you to think about where you are in your life right at this moment. Some of you don't feel like you have direction in your life. Some of you feel like that you've missed opportunities. Some of you wonder, can God even use me in the state that I'm in? And some of you are just bound up with care and worry about what's going to happen. What's going to happen in the world because of everything that's going on with Israel. Listen, God's got Israel taken care of. All right? So don't you worry about Israel. You leave Israel in God's hands. Well, what about our nation? What about what's going on in our nation? You listen to me. My peace, my life is not contingent upon who my president is, who my representative is, what laws are being enforced, what laws are not being enforced, what laws are being made, what laws aren't being made. None of that moves me. Why? Because I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I don't need to keep looking at myself as a citizen of the United States, even though in the natural I am, but in the spirit realm, I'm a citizen of a kingdom that supersedes what's going on in this nation. My supply comes from my true citizenship, so I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. Because what's going to happen is that just like here in the natural, when war breaks out, what does the United States do? They call their ambassadors home. They say, look, get out of there. Let's go ahead and bring you back home. What's going to happen to us? Our ruler is going to call us the ambassadors of Christ home and take us right back to that kingdom that we're a citizen of. It's going to take us out of the situation before it gets too bad. That's what he said. That's exactly right. So listen. Fear not. Be strong. Be bold. Be courageous. Step out into the things of God. Your greatest expanse in the kingdom of God, your greatest growth doesn't come by just sitting and learning. Your greatest growth comes by stepping out into a place that you've never been before. God's always leading you to new things, always leading you to new experiences. So don't just get comfortable just where you're at. Let God, man, grace, grace, grace. Somebody say grace. All right. Think about it right now. Are there any areas that you've worried about? Are there any areas that you've had care about? That you think about what's going to happen in the future? Are there any areas? Right now, give those to God. And just don't repeat after me. Just say this to yourself, however you want to say it. Father, I just give this to you. Father, I just give this relationship to you. Father, I just give the future of whatever it is to you. Father, the only thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to be obedient right now in what you've called me to do. Be strong. Be courageous. I speak strength into your spirit man right now. Boldness to act. Boldness to do what God has called you to do. Boldness to step out into new arenas. Boldness to step out into new areas. Boldness to obey your heavenly Father. The potential on the inside of you is greater than each one of you can imagine. Now rise up. Take your place as a son and a daughter of God and step out into that potential in Jesus' name.